Hello, I'm Bruce Edwards, and welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. In this program, how difficulties can present opportunities for the African entrepreneur.
Okay, do we start?
Yeah.
My name is Mam Kharidjian. I am a serial entrepreneur, that's what I can say. CEO of BioEssence that I created in 2005. And recently, I created a company named BioCondiments.
Pretty much every country in sub-Saharan Africa has its own set of challenges and opportunities. And while the international community has put a lot of resources over the years toward trying to figure out how best to keep the region's economies growing, most Africans would say that Africa's development lies in the hands of its own young entrepreneurs. Mam Kharidjian is one such entrepreneur from Senegal, where she found her first business opportunity in the form of seeds from the enormous baobab tree, the nation's symbol. Dien's baobab oil is now sought after around the world. She was invited to join a panel discussion about private investment in Africa during the 2018 IMF World Bank Spring Meetings, and that's where we sat down to chat. So you're here in Washington to talk about investment in Africa, and you're speaking with people from international institutions,
yes.
And it seems to be a big deal. There's a big focus on trying to attract investment into Africa these days. And the perception is that it's very difficult to do business in Africa. Do you think it's difficult to do business in Africa?
I can understand that people say that it is difficult because the challenges are huge and people are not used to what is happening in Africa. First of all, there is a lack of information and sectorial information, especially. When you want to go into a market, it is very difficult to find the accurate information. So this means that you have to invest while piloting with blind eyes.
Mm. So there's a lack of data, is what
you're saying. Exactly, lack of data. And the second thing is usually when you talk about investment, especially in the agricultural sector, in the rural areas, there is a lack of infrastructure. Mm. And even in the cities, it can be lack of energy, electricity. So these are very challenging for not only foreign entrepreneurs, but also for local entrepreneurs. But I do believe that things are changing, quickly changing. And we saw with some African countries that it is possible to develop from scratch. It is possible because the resources are here and Africa really gives good returns of investment. So sometimes it's more the sense of risk is polluted by the image given to African countries, because usually when we talk about Africa, we don't know that it's a land where you have most of the resources of the world, but we more think about wars and criminality and disease. No, it's not only that. Today you have very dynamic economies, as I used to say, where people see difficulties, entrepreneurs see opportunities. Mm. So everything has to be built in terms of productive agriculture. And we have such a biodiversity that is still virgin of human manipulation. And this means that it's for me, it's an opportunity to develop niche products.
I see.
Niche markets.
So this is one of the things that you took advantage of.
Exactly.
In Senegal.
Exactly.
Is the availability of agricultural land and natural products.
Yes.
From the land.
Yes.
And given all these things that you just mentioned, that at least in the public perception, that makes it difficult to do business in Africa, why has your business been so successful?
I think that, first of all, as I said, my inspiration came from an opportunity for the international market. So at the very beginning, I knew that I wanted to develop products that should meet the standards, the quality standards of the international market. So it was challenging. It is still challenging. But I think that Africa cannot be the exception of non-quality of the world, because consumers need everywhere quality, even African consumers. Today, we cannot only depend on other countries in terms of textile, in terms of food, in terms of, and this one is really unacceptable, in terms of health. So these are opportunities for entrepreneurs to really do some research and to really invest in those sectors.
And do you think that for businesses in Africa, in Senegal and other African countries, that they should be focused on trying to, you focused on trying to export your product to the markets in the United States and in Europe? But is there a market within Africa? Is there a significant and substantial market that entrepreneurs could be looking at?
There is a huge market. If you look at the balances of trade, you will be really amazed because we are importing everything. So, which means that if you invest locally, you will have a business advantages because the prices will go lower. You use the local labor and you will use the resources that are available over there. So normally your prices should be lower. And if we open sufficiently the market, meaning if we try to integrate the markets and trade regionally, for instance, let's look at Senegal and Mali or Mauritania or Gambia, that are countries which we share borders with. Instead of importing tomato from Europe, we produce tomato in Senegal. Even if I am telling you, it's even not sufficient because we are using most concentrate coming from abroad. So developing cultures of tomato in Senegal and transforming it locally and selling also to Mali and selling also to other countries. It is possible. Sometimes we have resources in other countries that we need. For instance, rice, we are taking it from Asian countries, but we can have, I mean, the land is here. Other countries such as Guinea, they make their own rice. We are trying to do it right now. But, I mean, there are opportunities, especially when it comes to food, first of all, and what you wear and where you live. All of these are opportunities in Africa.
So you mentioned something in this panel discussion about how you or certain countries close borders for certain products in certain times of year to encourage local products.
Exactly.
And some people would perceive that as a protectionist approach. Do you believe that you need to sort of, to a certain extent, protect your local product to expand the markets?
I think that, you know, sometimes letting everything go, depending on the circumstances, you cannot do that. Africa needs protection because more and more we are dependent in terms of many countries, especially in West Africa. In terms of money, our reserves of money, I mean, are in France, which is unbelievable. We are dependent, as I told you, in terms of food, health, textile and everything. So if you want those products to be developed locally, we cannot fight multinationals. We cannot fight people that come with a lot of money. And if you want to encourage the local production and encourage the SMEs, because I do not know...
SMEs being...
Small and medium enterprises. You cannot have a country develop without the SMEs. And you cannot have also a country developed going directly from agriculture to services and forgetting about industry. In Africa, we are used to consume what is growing and eating fresh. And so eating fresh means we are dependent to the climate. And everybody knows that the planet is changing. The climate change is really an issue.
So tell me why Senegal needs to import mango butter from the United States, given that there's so much mango in Senegal.
The mango butter is made from the seeds of mango. We import it because we don't do anything with our seeds. We just throw them away, as we were throwing away the baobab seeds. So baobab seeds, we successfully transform them into baobab oil, which is a very good product, and that we can you can sell, multiplying your revenue by 10. And I think that for mango, we should do the same. And for so many products, that there are opportunities. And African young people are so dynamic and so willing. And when you see that we have something like 65% of the population that has less than 25 years old, and 55% of the population that has less than 18 years old. So African people are young people. So what will we do? Because the governments cannot create the employment. The SMEs should create the employment. We have to really try to help our young people be willing in terms of startups and be creative, and instead of, you know, migration policies.
Speaking of policies, there is a lot of focus in these meetings around gathering interest and investment in Africa. Do you think that they're focusing on the right things, like these large multinational institutions like the IFC and the World Bank and the IMF? Do you think they're focusing on the right things to encourage investment? Do they understand what drives business in Africa?
You know, I heard the person from IFC today in the panel who said that for the very first time, I mean, they started 5 years ago, they understood that you cannot stay in Washington, D.C. and wanting to have data in Africa. And so now they're investing themselves in having local people doing the research they need. And they understand now that private sector is not only multinationals. There is a local private sector. There is even a foreign private sector, but that is small or medium, small or medium, and that can be. And we are expecting that those will focus on the right area where to invest. Because when you take those huge companies, they are all targeting very quick return on investments, and it will be products such as oil or gas large infrastructure projects, whereas SMEs will be like in more agriculture industries, services, new services with new technology. And this is where to focus. And I'm very happy that these big institutions start now to understand that the private sector is different and the local private sector must be, and it's a must be developed. Otherwise, what will happen? You know, today, Nigeria is 100 and something million people, and this is one of the most populated countries in Africa. Mm-hmm. What will happen by 2050? They will become 400 million people. And by the end of this century, there will be almost 1 billion people. What will happen if those people, young as they are, arrive unskilled on the market without education? It's violence. It's because they won't stay to die. They will do whatever to go in the US, in Europe, etc. Migration and violence and war and all this. And that means that there is no other way. Now the world is absolutely linked. It's a global thing. We are all in the same boat.
Mam Kairi Tien is a self-proclaimed serial entrepreneur from Senegal. You can watch the webcast of the 2018 IMF World Bank Spring Meeting Seminar about private investment in Africa at imf.org. You can also find the latest regional economic outlook for Sub-Saharan Africa, which includes an entire chapter on private investment.
And if you like this podcast, subscribe on iTunes or on your favorite podcast app. Just search for IMF Podcasts. And you can also now follow us on Twitter at IMF_podcast.